ready?
Yeah. Just fired it up. Good? All right, we'd like to welcome everyone to Landmark Baptist Church midweek service, day April 24. And it's been a busy day for me. I got my wife home, and I praise God for that. It's so wonderful to have her home, but she's had a rough week. She hadn't felt like nothing. Yesterday, she didn't eat nothing. She didn't eat much of nothing today. She ate some eggs and toast this morning and just got her stomach out of whack or something. I don't know. But we want to have a word of prayer. Want everybody to pray for churches that get on their feet and get going. I think we need to trim the wick a little bit on the churches. Amen. I have to admit, I guess I've got too much of it. I don't know, but I think we're the same. Where neighbors come on the front porch, think it's fight going on or something. But I like singing, and I like good singing. I can't do none of it, but I just make my pastor said we sing by the letter, just make a joyful noise. That's all I can make. We're going to Lord in prayer. Sister Rita's going to sing a song. Father, we love you, Lord, tonight. We praise you, Lord, tonight through lips of clay. Lord, we want to come before you in just humble prayer. Got a lot of people, Lord, we want to pray for. I pray, first of all, Lord, you forgive me my sins. Wash me, cleanse me. May I be acceptable in thy sight. Father, I pray, Lord God, your blessings upon my wife. Lord, she's had a terrible day. Help her, Lord, with her health. Help her, Lord, to get her strength back, get her mobility back. We just pray for her, Lord. I hate to see her, Lord, hurting like she does. I pray for Brother Mark, Sister Kay hurt. Lord, they're having also troubles. I pray for Kay. She doesn't want to go back, Lord, to the hospital. Doesn't want to be put back on dialysis. Brother Mark hurting, Lord, in his back. We pray for him. Pray for her. Pray you visit them, Lord, with blessings. I pray for Sister Judy, Sister Geraldine. Lord, we miss them. We love them. And Lord, you can visit them even right now and bless them real good, Lord. We pray, Father, Lord, for Donna Moorhead. Brother Patrick's visiting her right now. Lord, we pray for her. Got cancer, not doing well. We pray for her. Pray for Bruce. Lord, we pray for him. Also got cancer. Lord, we pray, Lord Father, for Brother Charles Fishback and his brother, Brother Leroy, both of them battling cancer. We pray for Sister Brenda Goff. Lord, had, I think, knee surgery yesterday. We pray for her. Pray your blessings on her, Lord. Help her, Lord, I pray. And bless her. I pray for, Lord, also Sister Joanne down in Bowling Green, down there at Sky Rehab. Lord, help her, Lord, get back on her feet, get going. Lord, visit her, Lord, and bless her. We pray. We pray for Sister Carolyn Tibbs in a car wreck. A man run a red light. I think it may have totaled her car, but she seems to be okay. We pray for her. I pray for Sister Tammy. Also, Lord, her health, Lord, in decline. We pray for her. Pray for Carol Madison, Larry's wife. Also, health in decline. Lord, we pray, Lord, Father, for, Lord, just so many, Lord, here in the church, God. Pray for James and Patty Madison. Patty's having some things done, I think. We pray for her. And I pray, Lord, Father, for Sister Phyllis. Lord, having trouble falling. Her sister got stage 4 cancer. Pray for Brother Mitchell, Lord. He's having also trouble, Lord. Lord, got cancer. And Lord, just having some health issues. We pray for him. Pray for Bessie's boys, his sister. Pray for Tony and all them to get in church. Lord, we could never run out of people to pray for. There's so many people in need. I pray for all those, Father, that are in need right now. And I pray especially, Lord, for those that are lost right now. I pray, Lord, they would take a good look around. Realize, Lord, the times that we're living in, it's time to seek the Lord. It's time to get saved. Lord, a lot of people like me procrastinating. Lord, didn't get saved. I was 34 years old, and only regret I got, I wished I'd got saved younger. But I pray for them, Father God, tonight. This will be our last service for tonight. Lord, on the I Can Help You on Salvation series, we're going to go to another topic next Wednesday. We thank you, Lord, for so many people showing so much interest, Lord, in these little short messages. And Lord, we just want to be a blessing and ask for your blessings. In Jesus' name we ask it, Lord. Amen. Amen. Get Sister Rita come up here and sing us a song. That poor Bible like me had fallen apart. Bless the Lord.
Do this to clear out stuck poop fast. On June 17th in 2019, my mom was...
Are you past the point of weary? Is your burdens weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus.
Yes.
Do you feel that in
your feeling?
But your shame's done all this feeling.
Woo!
You're desperate for healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, he makes a way where there ain't no way.
Amen.
Rises up from an empty grave.
Amen.
Ain't no sinner that he can't save.
Woo.
Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you. Let me tell you about my Jesus.
Woo!
Let my Jesus change your life.
He'll do it.
Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Who can wipe away the tears from the dreams and worries to use and tell the past to disappear? Let me tell you about my Jesus.
Lord.
And all the wrong turns that you would go and undo if you could. Who can work it all for your good? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save.
Right.
Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love. About my Jesus. Oh, he makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner he can't say. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Let my Jesus change your life.
Amen.
Brother, he'll do it too. Glory to God. I had an extreme makeover 36 years ago, and I've been a fanatic ever since. Amen. Amen. You know, when you don't know what you're missing out on, and you finally get some of it, sometimes you just don't know how to act. And that's the way I am most of the time. I get the Cain helmets. And when you get the Cain helmets, you got to do something. And I always like it when I get the Cain helmets. I never actually know what I'm going to do. I've shouted, I've run, I've cried. But I like it. Rita's singing, "Let Me Tell You About My Jesus." And Sarah's got "Let Me Tell You About My Jesus" shirt on. And I thought, boy, we're on the right page tonight. Amen. Amen. But she mentioned about he'll change you in 2 Corinthians. It's not what we're teaching on tonight, but in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature." If you got the right Bible, it says a new creature. "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And that's so true. I mean, I didn't know that before I got saved, but since I've been saved, it just keeps on going in that direction. I mean, the old man's dying. The new man, you know, he's been resurrected in Christ. There at Calvary, I met him. And boy, what a meeting that was. Glory to God. I know we're kind of talking over the heads of the lost people. But Psalms 34 verse 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." And I did taste 36 years ago of something I'd never tasted of before. And I just had never got over it. And it is wonderful to pillow your head at night and know everything's well with your soul. To know that God watches over you while you sleep. To know, praise God, that the worst thing could even happen be wake up in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we're going to talk about this. Our last, it's our 12th series on the "I Can Help You." And the reason I'm teaching this, a lot of people really struggle with salvation. And I'm 100% saved. I'm rock solid saved. I'm not tossed to and fro. I can stand toe to toe with anybody that wants to argue about any of the doctrines of the Bible or anything to do with, I mean, I don't even need a Bible to tell you I'm saved. I'm kind of like that blind boy there in John chapter 9. He said, "All I know is I'm blind, now I see. I got my eyes open." And I have to admit, I have to get my eyes open. It's hard to change my mind, amen. But we want to try to simplify salvation two ways tonight. Like I said, this is our 12th series on the "I Can Help You" series, and they've been really popular. They've been downloaded like 22, 25 times, and people in, I mean, other countries are downloading these. And this country here, I can't believe it. Oregon, California, Texas, North, South Carolina, Virginia, Tennessee, you name it, everybody and their brother is listening in. And I praise God for that, because that's why we're doing this. We're just trying to get the Word of God out. But we're going to try to simplify this tonight. And the first one I'm going to show you, the simpleness of salvation. Paul said many have done harm to the simplicity. It's in Christ Jesus. It is simple. You either got the Lord or you don't. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God hath not life. He's with me always. All day long He's with me. He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you," there in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. But we're going to start on a good note, and we'll finish up on a bad note. When I say a bad note, I only know really of one instance in the Bible where a man missed getting saved by coming to Jesus. We'll speak about him a little bit tonight. But in Matthew chapter 14, We'll use old Peter tonight. He's roughing the cod mines. My pastor said he thank God Peter's in the Bible. But Peter kind of pitches a lot of people. He struggled. He was constantly failing and falling. But Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse number 22, this is about Peter when he walked on the water. This is not about salvation, but yet it pictures salvation. Verse 22 of Matthew chapter 14, and it says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away." And the Lord here, he just got through feeding 5,000. He could have fed 5 million if he needed to. But here, he fed 5,000 with the 2 small fishes and the 5 loaves. And he sent the multitudes away. And when he'd sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the 4th watch of the night, Jesus went unto them. You know, sometime in the darkest place in your life, the Lord will show up.
That's right.
I remember when our daughter got killed in a car wreck, May the 30th, 1995. And, boy, we didn't have that in our plans. We was young. I hadn't been saved very long at all. I got saved in 1988. So that'd be 7 years. I've been saved 7 years. And I'd done read my Bible through 7 times. And this happened. And I have to admit, the Lord came to us in that dark time and carried us through that valley. Even today, I thank God for given her to us for 17 years. She lived 17 in 1 week. And for being there with us when we were distraught and bereaved and broken, we just like everybody else. I remember looking at my wife. I had a cup of coffee, and all I was doing was catching my tears in that cup of coffee. I wasn't drinking it. And I looked over at her, and she was broken, and she was bawling. And it was all I could do to get anything out. I said, "Honey," I said, "Have you thought of anything you want to put on her tombstone?" She said, "Yes, I have." And I said, "That'll be all right." And we buried our daughter best we could. But I'll tell you, the Lord comes. Somebody wrote a song, "God Walks the Dark Hills." And He does. And here they are, 4th watch of the night. Jesus went unto them. Matter of fact, John chapter 14, verse 18, the Lord said, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." And He's coming to them right here. And He came unto them walking on the sea. Now, I can walk on water, it's just got to be frozen. But the Lord here is walking on water that ain't frozen. And He could do anything. He'd walk on air if He wanted to. They sat there and watched Him in Acts chapter 2, and He just went up. I mean, He didn't need an airplane. He didn't need a parachute. He just went up to heaven. Amen. Well, He comes walking unto them on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a spirit." And they cried out for fear. Now, understand, they didn't see Him other than out there on the water. And they draw the wrong conclusion here. And they thought He was a spirit. And they cried out for fear. And I've had a few times, you know, get a little troubled about something, get a little afraid. I remember a storm come up on our house real bad one time. A tornado did come out there, but this time we was home and the windows was rattling. And I was a little troubled. I was trying to get back into the back bedroom to pray, ask the Lord to spare us. And I had to get down on my knees before I got to the bedroom. I was praying in the hallway. I mean, it was beating down pretty hard. And I was a little troubled for fear. But verse 27, "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it's I. Be not afraid." Now, He's comforting them, and He's coming to them. And Peter does the unthinkable right here. "And Peter answered him and said, Lord." Now, that word "Lord's" real important. He didn't say "good master." He said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And He said, "Come." One word answer. And Peter, when he was come down out of the ship, now I've often thought about this. I've never walked on water. Like I told you, I walked on frozen water. But here's a man in a ship, and he's stepping out of that ship, and I'm just thinking that first initial step, when that foot goes on the water, I've thought about that a lot, what that must have been like. Because you're expecting your foot to go on down, and all of a sudden your foot just stops right there on the top of the water, like there's something underneath it. And I thought, wow, that moment there. Peter come down out of the ship and walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried three words here, saying, "Lord, save me." Now we're talking about salvation tonight. This is actually not salvation, but yet it pictures salvation. The thief on the cross just said, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Peter here just cries to Jesus, "Lord, save me." Verse 31 says, "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand." You see, it didn't take a certain prayer, didn't take a long prayer. It just took a desperate, sinking fisherman Peter here, desperately needing help, cried, saying, "Lord, save me." He's too far from the ship. And Peter could swim. We've read several places here in the Bible where Peter can swim. In John, chapter number 21, verse 7, Peter heard that it was the Lord, and he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked and did cast himself into the sea. Peter didn't have no problem with the sea right here, right here at the end of the Gospel of John. But here he's sinking, and he cries, "Lord, save me." Now I said this picture's salvation. And immediately, that's how long it takes to get saved. If you can go to Jesus and cry to Jesus. You know, I mean, I know I've been saved 36 years, but I still remember getting saved. I remember I was like Peter, I was afraid. The reason I was afraid is I realized I was going to hell and I didn't want to go there. And the only thing kept me from going to hell was someone heard my cry. And I remember kneeling down at 9000 Ebony Road, April 27th, 1988. And someone had told me, "Eddie, Jesus loves you, Eddie." Someone had said, "Eddie, Jesus wants to save you. He's just waiting for you to ask Him." And he gave me the best illustration I ever heard in my life. He said, "If your little boy had done something wrong, come to you and said, 'Daddy, I'm sorry.'" He said, "Eddie, what would you do?" I said, "Well, I'd forgive him." He said, "Same way with God." And as simple as that sounded, I believed it. And I knelt down there by my bedside and I prayed this simple prayer. I said, "Dear Lord, someone told me you love me. Someone told me that if I would ask you, you'd forgive me my sins. You'd save my soul." And I said, "Lord, the best way I know how, right here, right now, I'm asking you to save me." Now, those were simple words, but he heard them. And immediately my guilt, my condemnation left immediately. And the peace of God took its place. And the joy of being saved was so wonderful. I wished everybody could get saved. Oh my. Oh, I wish this world was saved. I see so many devils walking our streets, hurting people, out of control, just in a rage. I've seen a woman grab another woman just recently, a young girl, and hit her head on the asphalt, put her in a coma, thrashed her. And I guess the other girl was on drugs. I don't know. She just completely out of control. She just looked like an animal, just out of control, rage. But boy, there's a great calm when you get saved. And it's so wonderful. And I wish everybody would get saved. But it's so simple. It's simple as this right here. Peter said, "Lord, save me." And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Now, Peter didn't need to be saved. As a matter of fact, early in Peter's life, Luke chapter number 5, he meets Jesus right here in Luke chapter number 5. The Lord passed by here. He saw, Luke chapter 5, he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And let me read all this. It came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust him out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now as the Lord's teaching these people, Peter's there. And now when he left speaking, he said unto Simon, which is Peter, launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master. Now I want you to know Peter calls him Master here. Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. First of all, to get saved, you got to have a willingness. Now, Peter don't understand the Lord right here, but he's willing to do what the Lord told him. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both of the ships, so that they began to sink. Now that's a lot of fish. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Remember over here in verse 5, he called him Master. Here he's calling Jesus Lord. For he was astonished at all that were with him, and at the draw of the fishes which they'd taken. You see, Peter had already had an encounter with Jesus right here early, and this encounter right here is a little bit later. But the Lord stretched forth His hand, and He beckons all to come to Him. Matter of fact, John chapter 6, verse 37, He says, Him that cometh unto me, I'll nowise turn away. You're guaranteed success if you go to Jesus. John chapter 6, verse 37, the Lord said, All the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And now the Lord made a lot of statements, and one of them he said in John chapter number 7, while we're this close, verse number 37, he said, In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, there's a lot of thirsty people out there, and I was thirsty for 34 years. I tried this, I tried that. I drank this, and I drank that. But I was still thirsty. But I got one well that I got to drink from that the Lord told a woman in John chapter 4, a Samaritan woman. He told that woman, verse 14, she come to the well here to get a drink. The well here, I think, at Jacob's well, verse 6. And the Lord's sitting there on the well. And here she comes, and she come to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. And the woman said unto a woman of Samaria said unto him, How is it that thou being a Jew, because this kind of caught her off guard. She said, How is it thou being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? It kind of rocked her boat a little bit that he asked her for a drink of water. For the Jews had no dealing with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now, there's a whole lot of difference in the living water and the water of Jacob's well. And the woman, she's not saved. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. She don't understand the term living water. She said, And the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? She's interested enough that she's asking about the living water. She needs the living water. The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. And Jesus is using a lot of wisdom right here. Verse 12, she said, art thou greater than our father Jacob? And he was. Which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle. And Jesus gives her, off the top answer right here. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Talking about Jacob's well. But verse 14, Jesus said, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, that's where I drank from this living water, April 27th, 1988, and I've not thirsted since. Now, I have to admit, I have a worldly thirst. I drink a drink of water on the way to church tonight. That kind of thirst I do drink. But as far as the thirst for spiritual need, I've been to the well where you drink one time, you drink as much as you want. But I have to admit, it satisfied my thirst. So the Lord's got her thirsty. Verse 15, the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water. She's wanting this living water. Now he's told her about it a little bit. And she thinks, like most people, that she can just get this water. And she can. But the Lord here said there's just one little problem. And this little problem, it don't take him too long to put his finger on it. She says, sir, give me this little water. Give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. See, it sounds like I can just have it. There's always something you got to take care of before you get this living water. So Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. Now, she's a Samaritan woman, and he's God in the flesh. She don't know who she's talking to. She don't really understand the term living water, but she wants it. So he says, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered, said unto him, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. Now he's fixing to mention something here that he knew all along. But he was so interested in her. So he had to get thirsty before he could talk about this little problem here. He says, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Now she's kind of picking up on a little bit right here. There's something about Jesus that's definitely different than anybody she's talked to. So she gets a little bit religious right here. Verse 20, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. I've not been to the mountain, I've not been to Jerusalem, but I have been to Calvary. He said, you worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation's of the Jews. And you know what? If you're not saved, you don't know what we're talking about here tonight, but you can know. It's not out of reach. It's within reach. You just got to listen to what the Lord's saying here. He's telling this woman, you may think you're worshiping God, but you don't even know what you're worshiping. He said, you worship, you know not what. We know what we worship. You know, when you get saved, you realize a lot about God because your eyes gets open. And the Word of God comes alive. And boy, the song, I was watching Sarah back there. She was shouting, waving hands. But I mean, the songs of God, they just kind of become, just blessings from heaven. And it says, verse 23, but the hour cometh, and now is, this is real important, even to save people, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Jesus said, the words that I speak, their spirit and their truth. Here in John chapter number 6, verse 63, Jesus said, it's the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life, but there are some of you that believe not. Jesus here talking about the spirit and the truth. John 17:17, I won't turn there. Jesus said, thy word is truth. And you got to worship God's spirit and truth. And God gives us the spirit and the truth to do so. For the Father seeketh us to worship Him. God wants to be worshipped. And He's going to be worshipped, either by us or them cherubims up there that constantly, holy, holy, holy. But He says, verse 24, God is a spirit. That's why you can't see God. Jesus said, they said, show us the Father. He said, you've seen me, you've seen Him. He was God incarnate. God in the flesh. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. And the woman saith unto Him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He's come, He'll tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. Now verse 28, she left her water pot. The reason she left her water pot, she ain't no longer interested in an earthly thirst. She got that world, that heavenly thirst satisfied. And she goes down to the city and tells men, verse 29, come see a man who's told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? You know, God's brought a lot of things to my mind that I've done that I hadn't thought about till He brought them out. Well, He kind of done up this woman right here. And she said, is not this the Christ? In other words, she said, I found Him. I found true love. And if you find Him, you will find true love. And he satisfied this woman's real thirst. In Matthew chapter number 11, we want to talk about this other one, so I've got to hurry. Matthew chapter number 11, the Lord here says, come unto me. He invites you to come. Now you're out there in this world, in this rat race down here, and the reason it's so complicated is they're taking advantage of you. I'll just put it in simple terms, they don't want you to get ahead. They don't want you to have success. I mean, you just noticed this week the gas went up like 30 cents a gallon. Let you on a little secret, down in Franklin, Kentucky, it's $2.98 a gallon. We're paying $3.59 here in Glasgow. But the Lord here says, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me. And He's talking about Himself. Come unto me, all you that labor. You know, I worked at the factory 40 years. I finally did retire. It ain't all it's cracked up to be, but I am glad I'm retired. But come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. You know, they'll work you like a sled dog and they pay you pennies. Really. When you get to heaven, you'll understand more about what I'm telling you. But heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. See, He's the only one that can give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden's light. See, Peter, all he had to do was say, Lord, save me. And it wasn't like he had to, you know, wait very long. Went to the wrong place. When he said, Lord, save me, the Bible says immediately, Jesus stretched forth His hand. You see, if you want to get saved, the Lord will immediately stretch forth His hand to you. He's interested in you. He loves you. But here's the complicated part about getting saved. I showed you the simple part. Come to Him. He's the only one that can save. You know, I hate it that people are so confused that they become Muslims or they become Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses or other cults. Go straight to Jesus. Get saved, and then you'll understand. You'll get your eyes open, and you'll understand salvation. But we want to look real quick here in Mark chapter number 10 at a man that wanted to get saved, but he didn't know how to go about it, and he had something he was holding on to that had more of him than he realized. Mark chapter number 10, this man came so close. It says, verse 17, and when he was gone forth into the way, talking about Jesus, there came one running and kneeling to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? That's a good question. And he came to the right one. but the word master. The Bible says nobody can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And when he called Jesus good master, Jesus answered him along that accord. Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that's God." Now the reason he said that, look in Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse number 5. It says, no, verse 6. What did I do? Right? Yeah, I wrote down the right verse and just said the wrong one. It says verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11, "But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God," this rich young ruler here, he came to God, he just didn't see him as God. So it says here, "He that cometh to God must believe that he is," and that "is" means that he is God, "and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So with this verse right here, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, this young ruler, he come running and he kneeled to Jesus, but he couldn't see no more than a good master. And for that very reason, he didn't get what he came for. When Jesus asked him this question, "Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that's God," the rich young ruler could have said, "But you're God." That's all it would have took. Hey, he'd have got one of the gloriously saved right there. But when Jesus asked that question, it was just so he could understand why he's missing that eternal life that he's seeking in verse 17. If you can't see Jesus as God, you can't get what you want if you're lost. You see, he's able to save. He's able to forgive. He's able to heal. He's able to do all things. There's nothing impossible with him. This rich young ruler missed it because he missed who Jesus was. He called him a good master. So Jesus, in the earnest of this man's quest, he says, "What shall I do?" So he wants to do something to get eternal life. So the Lord says, verse 19, "Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother." Now the Lord left out the first four commandments, which is this: "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Remember the Sabbath, keep it holy." Those first four commandments are man's relationship to God. He left them out because this ruler couldn't see Jesus as God. So he quoted these commandments that actually pertain to men, their relationship to man. We're supposed to honor our mother and father. We're not supposed to kill. I don't know why people are killing everybody out there like crazy right now. We're not supposed to steal. There shouldn't be no smashing ground. We're not supposed to bear false witness. You know, I hate to say it, but there's some people, I don't think they can speak the truth if they're choking on it. I'm telling you, speak lies. John the Baptist said, "You generation of vipers." That's kind of the way it is today. They don't speak truth one with another. Verse 20, he answered and said unto him, "Master." Notice what he called Jesus. Master. You see, he couldn't see no more than a teacher. That's what master means. He said, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. The Lord loved him. He came to the right one for salvation. He just didn't see Jesus as God and therefore couldn't get what he came for. Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing." That's all it takes, is one thing. You see, old song says this right here. "All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender." surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. This rich young ruler, he didn't surrender all. Therefore, the Lord, like that woman, knew what her problem was, knows what his problem is. He says, one thing, thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven, that's true. And come and take up the cross and follow me. And it's a sad verse right here. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Watched a documentary one time on how they catch monkeys over in Africa. And it's pretty simple. Guy goes out there with a metal 5-gallon can, sir and Rita, and he takes a chain, change it to this tree with a fork in it. And these monkeys up there watching him. And after he gets that can good and chained to that tree, he takes his bag and pours these peanuts in that can. These monkeys are watching him chain this can to the tree. They're watching him pour these peanuts in that can. He walks away. They come down out of their tree. They go straight to that can. One of them gets his hand in that can, gets a handful of peanuts, and here comes the guy with a ball bat. And the monkey sees him come with a ball bat. This is true. And a monkey screaming bloody murder, jumping up down, all the rest of them done run off. But this one can't run off because he can't let go of that handful of peanuts. Since he can't let go of that handful of peanuts, he can't get his hand out of that can. That's all he's got to do. But we're kind of like that monkey. There's something we're holding on to that we need to let go of. Somebody said, if Jesus is not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. Well, here, He went away grieved. He was sad at that saying, for He had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and saith unto His disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? It's hard for a rich person to let go. You don't have to give up your riches to get saved. It's just, you don't have to let them come between you and God. You know, if you had riches and you got saved, I promise you this, you'd want to do something different with those riches. Instead of holding on to them, you'd start looking for people you could help. You get that love of God abiding in your heart. You get that charity. You want to help people. But, you know, it's not impossible for rich people to get saved. It's just hard for rich people to get humble. They think, I don't need nothing. Why do I need to get saved? I've got everything I need. And I'm kind of like that rich man, Luke 16. I'm bearing something every day. Well, it's not impossible. The Lord says, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? You know, I didn't have great riches. I had a little money. I promise you this, last thing on my mind was money. What was on my mind was my soul. I was convinced I was going to hell. I'd heard a man of God preach the word of God, and I got convicted, I got condemned, and boy, I didn't sleep good. I'll tell you right now, I had no peace, but boy, I'm telling you, I was some kind of troubled. And I had a journey that I had to finish, and that was find out how to get saved, and then get to Jesus and get saved. It wasn't hard, but it was kind of hard to do all the things I had to do. I had to find somebody that was saved to tell me how to be saved, and that was Wendell Shaw. And I had to go do what he said to receive the Lord. And it was simple. He just said, ask Jesus to forgive you. Ask Jesus to save you. And believe Him to do it. It is so simple, and yet it's not simple. You know, I'll tell you this, no matter what your problem is, I don't care what you've done. I don't care how many tattoos you got. I don't care how many drugs you've took. I don't care how many times you've been married and it went belly up. I don't care if you're in prison. I don't care if you're in jail. I don't care if you're in a hospital. I promise you this, if you're still breathing and you want to get saved, all you got to do is get to Jesus. Paul said of a truth, Christ Jesus came this world to save sinners. And Paul was one that shouldn't have been allowed to be saved. He's murdering Christians. He's causing havoc to the churches. He's a terrorist of his day. And he runs into Jesus. And he had to ask him who he was. I mean, the Lord struck him blind. He fell down and he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And Jesus said, "I'm Jesus. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." You see, Saul was his name before he got saved. That was his Jewish name. He took the name Paul, which was his Gentile name, after he got saved. But Saul had been kicking at the one that he needed. He didn't think he needed the Lord, but found out he did need Him. And not only did the Lord save him, but the Lord seen to it that he got his eyes open, seen to it he got baptized, and the Bible says immediately Paul preached Christ. Amen. In Acts chapter number 9. I'll just tell you, there's a lot about being saved that can't be put into words. It's better experienced than explained. But I'd be glad to take the time to expound, explain, or help you in any capacity you have need of. I promise you this, I know the Lord personally. Amen. That makes a big difference. And He knows me personally. And this rich young ruler, he got so close. But that only counts when you're pitching horseshoes. When you're pitching horseshoes, they take a horseshoe, stick it down there. If you're so close to the stake, it counts. But in salvation, you got to be altogether saved. Not part saved, not so-called saved, but born again saved. And it's wonderful to be saved. These two men right here, this rich young ruler, he went away sad. He went away grieved. And the reason he went away sad and he went away grieved was because he thought he had great possessions. And them great possessions caused him to miss out on heaven. Don't let your great possessions cause you to miss out on heaven. Whatever you got to do to get saved, and you'll realize those great possessions wasn't all that great because you've got the pearl of great price. You've got the true riches. Boy, once you get saved, you're so rich. You can't even enjoy the treasures of this world no more because you know Him and He blesses you so much. I tell you, you can't get caught up in the treasures of this world when you've met the Savior, the Lord and Savior. The true treasures of heaven, the true riches of heaven. You won't be sad. You won't be grieved. You won't even think anything about the possession you got. You say, like me, you say, "You need that? Yours. You take it. It's yours." I'm just telling you, you'll let go. Somebody said, "Let go, let God." But if Jesus is not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. And Peter found the Lord in a big way. Peter messed up the night. He knew the Lord three times. Lord came right back to him. I'll tell you, He's the potter with the clay. He's the Savior. We're the saved, we're the redeemed. He's the Redeemer. But it's so easy to be saved. And it's also so easy to miss out on being saved. Don't be religious. Be born again, saved. Don't waste your time with religion. Go straight to Calvary. Say, "Somebody told me there's a man named Jesus that loved me, that died for me, that wants me to ask Him to forgive me, to save me." Go straight to Jesus. Get saved. You get saved, you catch yourself. You'll be going down the road. "I'm rejoicing in my Savior every moment of the day since He gave me this heart of love. On and on we walk together in the hallelujah way since He gave me this heart of love." You'll find yourself going down the road. You'll be singing. You'll be making melody in your heart. You'll be like Sarah back there. You'll be raising hands. You'll be like Rita up here singing and tears on her cheeks. Amen. You'll enjoy the good things of God. Don't miss heaven. Don't miss out on salvation. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, we might as well read that real quick because it's the last one on salvation. Matthew chapter number, maybe it's 5, I think it's 6. Hold on a minute. Maybe 5. But it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." That ought to be the first thing on your list of things to do. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That ought to be the first goal in your life, is to get to know the Lord. And we'll stop right there. Matthew chapter number 6, verse 33. Get that thing done first. The rest of it's all secondary. God bless you. Thank you for listening tonight.